Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Grobler.
I want to minister a message to you about the warrior who wouldn't fight. And of course, I'm speaking about Samson. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges, chapter 13. And we realize from this portion of Scripture that just like with Jesus, an angel came and announced the birth of this great deliverer, somebody who would bring the blessing to Israel. And in Judges chapter 13, verse 4, the angel speaks to Samson's mother and says to her, "Now therefore," verse 4, "therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Here, Samson's call is being revealed. Samson, the anointed of God, anointed of the Holy Spirit, who would come and bring deliverance to God's people. Hallelujah. And Judges chapter 13, verse 24, we read about the birth, the coming, the manifestation of this deliverer of God. Judges chapter 13 and verse 24. "So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahane Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." I want you to say that word, Mahane Dan. Mahane Dan. It's no coincidence that the Spirit of the Lord started to move on him in this place. We find in Scripture that Manoah was Samson's father, and he was of the tribe of Dan. Samson was anointed and born into the family of the tribe of Dan on purpose so that he can bring his tribe into their inheritance. Because you see, at this time, one of the tribes, Dan was one of the smaller tribes, and this was a tribe that had not yet inherited their portion. Many other tribes had already inherited their portion, but Dan still did not have his portion. I want you to know, God wants everyone here to inherit your portion. Amen. And here we come. And God divinely places him in the tribe of Dan because they still did not have an inheritance. You see, when you're in a place where there's lack, it's a revelation of God what God wants you to minister in that place. Amen. We're not locusts. Amen. We're not consumers. We are the blessing. We are the reason there's a blessing in the family. You are the reason there's a blessing in your business. Amen. And here he is. And God sets his borders. What I want you to get from this is that Samson was not born in Mahane Dan by accident. He could not be born in Durban. He could not be born in another generation. He was born for such a time as this, in such a place like this, in such a family like this, in a tribe like this, because there's purpose in his life. Hallelujah. God is very specific about when and where you are born. Amen. He, the Bible says, sets the borders of your habitation. Everybody say, "I'm not in this family for nothing." Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The place where you are is where God placed you. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord began to move upon Samson at Mahane Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." Now, if you look at that name, the Spirit of God started to move on him at Mahane Dan. Mahane Dan speaks of, it's translated to contend. He was born in a place where God was saying to him, "You will contend." It means to execute judgment on behalf. It means to quarrel. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're in a place where there's lack, you need to quarrel. Amen. You say, hey, it's not going to be like this. It means to argue for. It means to contend. His purpose was to contend for the tribe of Dan's land. That was his purpose. That's why he was born. Because there was lack in the tribe of Dan. And God sends a mighty deliverer there. They've been looking forward to him. But saints, what I want you to realize, that after 20 years of Samson's reign, Samson still left Dan without an inheritance. Samson died, and the tribe of Dan were still wanderers. Here's a man mightily anointed of God. Why? Because Samson was the man who would not fight. He was the man who would not enter the battle. He was not like David, that when he saw Goliath stand up and start speaking against Israel, said, man, here's a cause. And he rose up and he took the fight on. He was not like that. He did not engage in his purpose. Listen, you and I need to understand the anointing, the call on you. There's a bigger purpose for your life than what you think. Amen. The anointing's on you for a purpose. Hallelujah. It's not just for me, myself, and I. If it was all about me, then I can die right away and go to heaven. It'll be better for me. Amen. There's better worship in heaven. There's better blessings in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about me. The anointing, the purpose is bigger than you. And guess what? Because Samson never did it, you find two chapters later, another generation later, God had to raise another 600 men of the tribe of Dan who took the land without Samson. The Bible says in verse 11 of Judges 18, and 600 men of the family of the Danites went there from Zorah and Eshtol, the same place that the Spirit of God started to move on Samson. A generation later, the Spirit of God moves on 600 men. And they go and take the land that Samson was supposed to take. It's a promised land. We read about that land. Read about that with me in Judges 18 verse 9. How God, a whole generation later, brings them into the inheritance by somebody else. I've determined that I'm not going to leave my call undone. Come on now. I'm going to be the one that brings my family into inheritance. I'm going to be the one that brings my sons and my daughters into the call and the blessing of God. Amen. I'm going to be the one that breaks the curse of divorce, that breaks the curse of disease, that breaks the curse of poverty and shame from our family. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at what happens here. The great promised land's ahead of them. What happens? A generation later, God moves on 600 men. Judges 18 verse 9. So they said, arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed, it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. And when you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands. A place where there is no lack. I say the land is a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtol, armed with weapons of war. And then they went up and encamped in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore they call that place Mahanadan to this day. That is west of Kirjath-Jearim, and they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. These 600 men rises up and took the inheritance, smote the enemy, hallelujah, took the land, and they built the city of Dan. This was Dan's portion, an amazing place of abundance. How would you like to have the generation after you to live in the abundance, in the good of the land? Amen. This was what God had promised. The Bible says a place where there's no lack of anything that is on the earth. Dan needed Samson. The tribe of Dan needed Samson. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved on Samson in Mahanadan. Moved on him. But Samson was the conqueror that wouldn't fight. He was a reluctant deliverer. He did not engage at all. He wouldn't contend for his nation. He didn't want to step into his destiny. He was reluctant to be the deliverer that God called him to be. Listen, the call of God will scare you in the natural. Now say it to this side of the congregation. The call of God will scare the wits out of you in the natural. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit of the Lord is on you, nothing will be able to stand in front of you. Amen. I've learned that the battles that you engage in, you will win. Amen. You know which ones you won't win? The ones you don't engage in. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Samson avoided God's call. His heart was not set on the promised land. His heart was not set on the kingdom. Samson would only fight for himself and things that affected him personally. So what did God have to do? God had to get Samson activated. So God put a girl in the middle of the promised land, in the middle of the enemies, named Trouble. And the moment the girl was there, and there was something in it for Samson, he got activated. Watch what happens, Judges 14:1. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman of Timnah, of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now for get her for me as a wife. And then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to his father and mother, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Verse 4, watch this, an incredible verse. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that God was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. Because at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. In other words, God had to lure Samson into battle. God was seeking an occasion against the enemies. He was trying to get Samson activated against the enemies and to discover the anointing that is on him. Amen. Listen, most of us, when you get saved, we try and make a peace pact with the devil. You leave me alone, I leave you alone. Long as we're in peace. But listen, there's no peace. That devil hates you. And there can be no peace while he's on my land. Somebody needs to get an attitude and say there will be no peace as long as you are sitting on my promises. Amen. Throughout Samson's life, he only fought for what involved him. It's amazing when you look through scripture that the battles that he fought was always about Samson. So he moves, and because of Timnah, this girl of Timnah, he moves down to that city. And for the first time, while he's going for this girl, he experiences the anointing, the power of God come on him. The Bible says, while he's on his way to the girl, a lion comes against him. Men, never underestimate the power of those flashes of those eyelids. Amen. Bring Samson to his knees. Here he is. He's on his way to a goal. A lion comes against him. And suddenly, Samson discovers there's an anointing on him. And he turns and he grabs that lion, and the Bible says he tears that lion. He breaks that lion's power. Amen. Kills that lion. And once again, because he's after the girl, there he is in Timnah at the feast. And remember, he gives a riddle to them. You know, out of the strong came something sweet. Amen. And out of the eater, something to eat. And he gives them this whole riddle. And there, where he's giving the riddle, of course, we know the story. They go, they plow with his heifer. They get the lady to say what it is. And they come and they solve the riddle. And Samson gets angry. And what does he do? He goes and he kills 21 other Philistines. Takes their cloaks and gives it to those people in pledge. But all of this is because of the girl. Amen. He's not fighting for Dan. Later on, we see the same Samson. He goes down to go and see this girl, and he finds out that the father has given her to somebody else. He said, now I'm angry. Amen. And he goes and he catches 300 foxes, ties their tails together, puts fire in between. And he sets fire to all the fields of the Philistines. Hallelujah. And here he is. And when they come to fetch him, they say, who did it? They say, Samson did it. And his own people bind Samson with ropes and gives him over to them. But the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him. And he broke those ropes like flax. Hallelujah. And he picked up a jawbone of a donkey. And he slew 1,000 men. Man alone. Hallelujah. Look at this congregation. There's 1,000 men. Would you like so many men coming against you? Man, when he activated, that anointing activated, he slew 1,000 men. And here is Samson. He fought the fight. He showed the power of God. The anointing of God all over him. God was showing Samson, I am with you. And yet we see Samson later on. Again, what does he do? He goes down to the city of Gaza. And while he's there, they surround the city. And they say, we're gonna take Samson. And Samson waits till midnight. And he goes out under the anointing of God. And the Bible says he grabs the gates of that city, pulls it up, pillars and all out of the ground, and carries the gate up the hill. Nothing can hold you when the power of God is on you. Nothing can keep you when the power of God is on you. Somebody say amen. He instilled great fear on the Philistines. He caused them to have some respect for the Israelites. Amen. And he was learning there's an anointing on his life. How many of you have had a few victories in your life? What was God showing you? I am with you. Amen. And he did great exploits. But guess what? He started taking that anointing for granted. Because when things are easy, it's your biggest test. Hello? While you're in a fight, you're fighting. But when it gets easy, it's easy to sit down. Amen? It's easy to, like David, when the time the kings come to war, you stay at home. You send others out. Let others do the job. You're the warrior. You're the one that God called. You're the one with the anointing on you. Amen. And Samson takes that anointing for granted. And the Bible says he goes down and he finds Delilah. And he thought, this is just like all the others. But this time something different happens with Delilah. He loses the anointing. The Spirit of God lifts off him. Why is it different this time? Samson tampered 3 times with the call of God on his life. The first time he tampered with his separation, with his consecration, and he went around with the uncircumcised, with the Philistine girls. He went around. He is tampering with his consecration, going to parties where he shouldn't be. being in places where he had no place to be. But the Spirit of God remained on him. Then he goes on and he does a second thing. He starts tampering with his own purity. He starts drinking. Starts becoming unclean in himself. But still the Spirit of God is on him. But this time with Delilah, he tampers with a third time. He tampers with the covenant. He starts saying, man, this covenant is not that special. Because when the power of God is on you, you see, many times saints, they tamper with things and the Spirit of God is still on them. They tamper with things and say, see, nothing serious happened to me. I'm still okay. But the moment comes, we tampered with the covenant that he had with God. And when he tampered with that covenant, the Bible says, once you trample the blood of Jesus underfoot, there remains no more salvation for you. There remains no more intercession for you. Can't tamper with a covenant. And when he tampers with that covenant, the Bible says they caught him. They humiliated him. They took a hot rod and they burned his eyes out. Because when you lose vision, when you lose purpose, your eyes get taken from you. Your spiritual eyes can't see anymore. And yeah, because he can't see anymore, he is relegated to work like a slave, to go round and round in circles. Every day trying to make a living. Listen, you were not called to make a living. You were called to make a difference. Can I say it again? We are not called to make a living. We are called to make a difference. That the whole family, that the whole community say, thank God there is an Adam in this place. Amen. That the whole community say, my God, the family says, oh my Lord, thank you. That there's a George in this family. Because he's making a difference in my life. You see, the anointing goes further than you. Further than your family. Amen. It goes to touch everything. And yeah, here it is. That it cost him his anointing. It cost him his vision. And when vision is lost, the call is far from your mind. It's not about the call anymore. It's about which night is he goalie. It's about when is the next show? Where's the next entertainment? And Samson became the entertainment. Because without the anointing, we lose the power to make a difference. And yes, Samson, his eyes get taken out. The anointing lifts from him. The covenant is broken. And Samson finds himself going to work like a slave. Out of the arena of God's call. Out of the arena of things that matter. Go slave away. Go to your place of no vision. Go to your place where the call is not important. And there he is. And the Bible says, he's in that place and he's grinding and he's made a fool of. I want to say to you today, don't ever let your guard down. That anointing that is on you is precious. Somebody say amen. You're not supposed to see this. They're supposed to be dressed in black and it's all blacked out. You don't see them take the stuff off and go to the next service. Amen. So tell your neighbor, I didn't see that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, brothers, see to it that you never lose your purpose. That initial fire that burned in your spirit when Jesus called you stays pure. Hallelujah. Stays relevant in your life. Amen. I was remembering when I was preparing this, man, when I got saved first, I mean, I want nothing to do with the world. But I didn't have knowledge, so I had nothing to do with the world. So I thought it would please God if I become a monk and sit in the cave and have nothing to do with the world. And literally, I was looking for monasteries. nothing to do with this world. But listen, God wants you not of the world, but in the world. The anointing that's on you is to make a difference. Hallelujah. The anointing that's on you is not to make a living. The anointing that's on you is to make a difference. Everybody say, I'm here to make a difference. Hallelujah. You know, you look at the story of Samson. You look at his exploits. You look at the mighty anointing that's on his life. You look at the way that nothing could stand in front of him. But let me tell you, the story of Samson is both wonderful and sad at the same time. He is a warrior in this life, full of purpose. Hallelujah. Full of personal victories. But his greater purpose was left unfulfilled. Here's a man who did mighty exploits. But at the end of it all, his tribe, the tribe of Dan, and his father's household still has no inheritance. Listen, I don't want to be remembered for how much money I made, for how good I lived, for how many times I went to Mauritius, for how many blah, blah, blah. Amen. We've got an eternal purpose. I want to be like Pastor Fred. That when I lie in that grave, this scripture is written. And when he had fulfilled all God's purpose, he rested with his fathers. Hallelujah. Waiting for his inheritance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, he is a man with mighty exploits, but his own family still weren't in possession of the promise. He didn't realize that this mighty anointing on him was for a greater vision. He could have done it. But because he didn't do it, God had to raise up 600 men in the next generation to go take that land. Think of the ratio, 600 to 1. Samson didn't realize how important he was to God. He didn't realize how important he was to his family. He didn't realize how important he was to his community, to his church. He didn't realize it. He didn't realize that this power that was in him is mighty and is God-given. I want to say to you, the anointing that's in you is mighty. It's God-given, given by the wisest person in all of creation. Amen. It's anointing given to you. Samson didn't realize it. He felt like his life was not really that important. As long as everybody do what they do, what I do is not that important. I can slack a little bit. The greatest scheme of things doesn't really matter. Listen, it matters. They say a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Amen. I determine I'm going to be a strong link. Amen. I remember in the beginning when, you know, we had the call and we started serving God and pressing in. I said, Lord, what's my part in this kingdom? Because I mean, Durban Christian Center is a powerful church. You see the anointing, you see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, see the presence of God. You see how God is moving in a mighty way. You think, what am I doing here? I went to study scripture and God said to me, you shall be a pillar in the house of my God. Amen. I said, well, then that's what I'll be. Amen. You're not a weak link, you're a strong link. When the anointing is on you, listen, my friend, the church will excel as each one of us take our land. Somebody say amen. He failed to realize how significant he is to other people's purpose. Amen. How many times would he have failed if there wasn't somebody on time with a word of encouragement? Amen. If there wasn't somebody on time who came and exercised their anointing. I was just this weekend, we had the men's encounter. And Nathan was testifying how that he was with his mother-in-law. And they over there, and his mother-in-law's not well, and she's sick, and in his mind, the back of his mind, he's planning a funeral. And they're praying for her. And Renette's praying for her mother. And they're standing, believing. And he says their faith started, you know, weighing as they're praying. And the next moment, Nolan, the drummer, walks in. and said, I'm here to pray for your mother. Amen. There's Nolan. Man of war. We salute you. Amen. He walks into that place. He lays hands on his, I think you said, on her leg. It's most probably the only place where he can reach. Amen. Lays hands on her, prays for her. The next morning, the hospital phone. Remember, she's like a goner. She's oxygen mask. She got drips in her. She's finished. The next morning, the doctor's phone and come fetch her. She's fine. Amen. Why? Because there's a drummer that said, this is my fight. Amen. Amen. The next morning, I think Sunday morning, she's up making breakfast. Monday, making breakfast. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. You see, Samson didn't realize how significant his life was for other people. For other people around you, that the anointing on him was for a greater cause. It's so important, dearly beloved, how you spend your time. Where you spend your time. What you spend your time on. Amen. The Bible says you must redeem the time. Hallelujah. Don't let it wait for tomorrow. Is that what the Bible says? If you can do something good today, do it today. Don't withhold it. Amen. Some of you sitting here, God's starting to speak to you about something that you've been letting slip. Do it! Because the anointing's looking for a cause. The Holy Ghost is looking for a place where His soldiers can fight. Where the men and women of God will take their place and make a difference in this world. Somebody say amen. Turn the enemy to flight. Break the expectations. Listen. The world is full of stories of people who walked into their lives like that when Nolan walked into their hospital and intervened in the course of history. Hallelujah. We are here to see the kingdom come. We are here to see the will of God made manifest. Hallelujah. Amen. As a demonstration of the kingdom. Samson didn't realize that he was called to bring the whole tribe of Dan into their inheritance. You see, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. Amen. Lift up your eyes, see the harvest. Man, I'm preaching to myself. I'm thinking to myself, I was thinking when I was reading, I was doing this, man, what kept Pastor Fred going? At the age of 60, builds the dome. Age of 60. Most people by that time are saying, oh, well, I've done well. Got a big church. Everything's fine. But his eyes was on what the tribe of Dan needed. This generation needs the lost to be saved. This generation's fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and cousins need the salvation. I'm not going to sit back. I'm not going to let it be. Listen, I started realizing when I prayed about it, looked at Pastor Fred, that he wasn't satisfied with what's going on here. He had his eyes on the harvest. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hand and say, Lord, let my eyes be on the harvest. Let my eyes be on the promised land. Let my eyes be on the victory. Hallelujah. See, it's not about me getting to where I want. Once I'm there, I must help others get there. Amen. That's what it's all about. God had prepared Dan an excellent land. Man, if I read about the inheritance of the land of Dan, I think, what? I mean, they're most blessed. You know what the Bible says of Dan's land? For God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the face of the earth. What a place that God has prepared. Hallelujah. Think of what Samson's legacy could have been. He's the one that brought it through. Amen. The man that led the tribe of Dan. Hallelujah. If you say, I can, you can lead the tribe of Dan. Hallelujah. God will make a way. Samson lost the opportunity, lost the anointing. But let me tell you something, that even when he lost the opportunity, lost the anointing, there's always a way back. Because we serve a merciful God. We serve a God eternally committed. See, when God created you with a purpose. And even if you fail, he doesn't change your purpose. Hello? Even if you delay, he doesn't change. Amen? Even if you didn't fight the battle, you wake up tomorrow morning, still the same God, with the same call on your life, with the same purpose. Hallelujah. And yes, Samson, even though he was in that place, God's Spirit is still moving on him. Listen, no matter how far you've gone down, the call of God remains. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, what I've created you for, I will not repent of. I will not relent. I'm not a man that I should lie, or the son of man that I should repent. I know what I've called you for. Somebody say amen. You know what I realize many times in your battle, many times while you're in battle, you're in isolation. It seems like you're not engaged. Seems like you're out of circulation. There's Samson. He's out of circulation. He's on his own. Nobody's calling on him. Amen. Sometimes you need to reach a place where nobody's encouraging you. Nobody's calling on you. But you like David, who encouraged himself in the Lord. You discover the call for yourself. There's Samson. He's in that place, a place of loneliness and isolation. And while he's there, he starts realizing, listen, my life's actually for God's glory. And he's there, and while he's there, you see, in a place of isolation, your hair will always grow back. Hallelujah. And God's watching for that heart covenant to be restored. Amen. And his hair is growing back while he's in that place. And while he's there, it's a place of separation. It's a place of loneliness. That's where God restores you. Amen. How many of you have had times where you just withdraw? Amen. The battle waxes hot. Things are tough around you. You just withdraw. You say, I need to spend time with my master. I need to get into isolation. I need to renew this covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember there was a time where the battle waxed hot for my wife, and to a point where I felt like if I look at my hands, I'll see it, I'm bleeding. You know, the Bible says you're not yet resisted to the point of blood. Felt for me like I'm at the point of blood. And my wife and I realized, hey, we need to separate us. We got in the car and we drove away. Went up to Hazy View. Visit my mom. While we're there, our hair grew back. Amen. Like Samson's hair. Huh? These things are spiritually discerned. Amen. And Samson strengthened himself in the Lord. And realize why he is here. And he realized that anointing is on him. And when he prayed, he said, Father, one more time. God says, I'm still with you, Samson. Amen. I'm still here. Listen, you can fail God, but God will never fail you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Right there in the middle of his situation, no matter where you are, God is with you. God is for you. Don't ever let your eyes get off and start thinking it's people. Because then you'll start shadow boxing. And it's exhausting to shadow box. You shadow box all day, fighting flesh and blood. This one's fault, that one's fault. Get in your place with God. Fight your fight of faith. Hallelujah. Stand in the place that God has given you. Because that's the place of many saints' defeat. Things go wrong. People do them wrong. People do this. People do that. Listen, for as long as you're in this life, people do something wrong to you. Amen. Even if you get near me, I'll do something wrong to you. Somebody's going to wrong you. But never get your eyes. It's not about people, saints. In every situation, God's teaching you to overcome. He's actually separating you to himself. Because we still depend too much on people. Amen. God has a mighty miracle. You start depending on that boss he did the miracle through. He was not the source. Amen. Get into that place of peace. Get into that place of rest. Every battle you go through is to your advantage. I say it today to you in the name of Jesus. Every battle you go through, God turns it to your advantage. It will work for you. Can I say it today? It will work for you. Because when times of trouble come, that's when you draw near to your God. Amen. Come on. You know, when I read the story of Samson, I realized Samson, the anointing came on him when he fought. The anointing came on him when he got angry. Amen. When he got cross. Hallelujah. So let me tell you, saints, one more time. Samson says to that little boy, he said, lead me to these pillars. One more time. No matter how far you are, there's one more time in you. Amen. Can I say it again? No matter how tough things are, there's one more time. Hallelujah. One more time. And if you've heard the preacher says, one more thing. And then 10 things later, one more thing. Amen. There's one more victory in you. And 10 victories later, one more victory in you. Because God takes you from glory to glory, from victory to victory, from strength to strength. Hallelujah. All you need to do is summon the strength to say one more time. That's all you need. I don't need to know about next year. I don't need to know about 2 months from now. I don't need to know about the million battles. All I know is the devil that's in front of me now. One more time. Lead me to the pillar. Put my hands on that thing. Let me shake the temple that the enemy tried to build in front of me. Let me push down the temple of Dagon and he will fall before me. Hallelujah. Somebody say one more time. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how hard. Amen. Don't let your eyes turn to people. It's not about people. And most times it's about those in authority. If your eyes turn against them, oh, they should have helped me. Thank God they don't help you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Do you know that Jesus walked past that paralyzed man on the gate by the gate called Beautiful every day? Jesus himself. And after Jesus' resurrection, Peter walks past and he raises him. Hallelujah. Sometimes God won't let others help you because it's your turn. But we, oh, somebody else. No, no. You're the man. One more time. One more time. And what happened? He discovered his mojo. Amen. Come on, discover your mojo. Hallelujah. Discover that thing that you're all about. You know something else that troubles does? It tends to cut from you things that aren't really important. It tends to crystallize your purpose. Amen. When trouble comes, your enemy crystallizes in front of you. Isn't it so? You start getting a clear vision. And that's when the power of God is there. No matter what you face, one more time. He said, God, lead me one more time. Puts his hands on those pillars. And the anointing of God comes on him. And he takes down in his final act for God more Philistines than he did in a whole lifetime. Hallelujah. And he dies a conqueror. But a conqueror who still did not fulfill purpose. God wants you bigger than your situation. Amen. Come on now. God wants you bigger than your situation. Hallelujah. Look, I believe in laying up inheritance for your children and all that. But guess what? Whether you got that or whether you don't have that, that's not really what it's about. It's about your legacy. Amen. About the character you built into your children. About the ministry you left behind. About the lives that you touched. Somebody say amen. Man, I feel the anointing on me here today. Listen, being defeated is a temporary condition. Giving up is permanent. I'm not entering that place. Today, let the Spirit of God strengthen you. Come on, somebody say one more time, God. One more time, hallelujah. Let the anointing crystallize the vision in front of you. Crystallize the portion that God has for you. And realize today that we're in this great church. We're in this great area. Why are we here? Because there's a mantle on this church to see the South District saved. To cast out devils. Break bondages. Somebody say amen. To get the lost saved. Amen. Until they have to close down every mosque, close down every temple, close down every place, that because there's nobody attending them anymore, because we ripped the souls out. The gates of hell will not prevail against this church. Somebody say amen. Amen. In here are preachers, in here are prophets, in here are evangelists, hallelujah, sitting in this church are warriors of God. People with a call on their lives. You press into that. Listen, there's a mighty anointing of God that's resting on you today. Come on, everybody lift your hands. Thank God for the anointing on your life. God, you brought me out this far. It's your Spirit moving on me. And now thank you. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for one more time. Let this place today, Lord, be for each and every one sitting here like Manahadan. Let it be for the place between Eshtoel and Zorah. Lord, the place where the call of God crystallizes once again. Let your Spirit move afresh on each and every life. We thank you now for a fresh anointing. There it is. There's a fresh anointing, a fresh call coming on you. Even as you said, Lord, one more time, God is anointing you for battle, and His Spirit is on you to engage and take a hold of the promises of God. Lord, I release the mighty anointing. I release the power of your Spirit. I release the call of God. Lord, we restore each and every one. In Jesus' name, nobody's in a defeated place. Nobody's in a permanent place of defeat. But I thank you now for strength. Thank you now for the anointing. Thank you now for the power. Lord, I sense your Spirit come. God is saying to you, I'm anointing you one more time. I'm anointing you one more time. My Spirit is coming on you mightily one more time. And Lord, I thank you that your Spirit begins to move right now on each and every life as each and every saint say, here I am, here I am, here I am. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your Spirit. That's it. Some of you sense the anointing coming to you like a heat. Hallelujah. The fire of God settling on your life right now. Hallelujah. Right now, even as you're sitting there, God's going to start crystallizing the things, opening your eyes to what's going on around you, revealing your enemy to you. God says, I did not isolate you to reject you. I did not isolate you to push you out. I isolated you so I can have communion with you, so I can have fellowship with you, that I can show you the might that is on your life. Lord, thank you for this mighty anointing. Thank you for the mantle of God that rests on each and every saint. Shabra, sekera, darabaraba. That's right. That's right. That's the Spirit of victory. That's the anointing of God. As you take your land, God says you will cause others to take their land. As you stand in the place God has given you, the whole church will advance. Shebra, sekera. I sense the Spirit of God moving in this place. In unity, I sense the Spirit of God placing each and every one right in the center of your call, right in the place where God gave you to do. Sometimes you're required to do more than others. It's because you got more than others. Hallelujah. God isn't required to do more because He's victimizing you. God's requiring you to do more because He wants to give you even more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Spirit of God. That's the call. I've received it. Your love is like a fire that's burning inside of me. Your grace, it is the power that's bringing me to my knees. And every time I see you, I can see Jesus revealed. Hallelujah. Your love is like a fire that's burning inside of me. Your grace, it is the power that's bringing me to my knees. And every time I see you, I can see Jesus real.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you and God bless.